Bobrovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And phone number here, as always, 800-222-5222. Sam at samnation.com is the email. And, well, as just a few hours ago, the Senate has voted to open up debate on Obamacare. Okay? Talking about eliminating it. And I want to reiterate in this entire debate right now about what to do with healthcare in our country, I want to reiterate my core position on this. Because it is so important for us to view healthcare as a commodity that is openly traded in a free marketplace. Now, yes, the argument always against this is that it lacks compassion, that healthcare is a right, that it is something that, because it's a right, it ought to be provided by the government. And so in one form or another, it ought to be sponsored by the state. And there's a parallel story right now, I think is a profound cautionary tale of what that actually looks like. And I think that as a country, we need to do some amount of soul searching. As Americans, we have to do a bit of reflecting and ask ourselves if this is the type of system that we really want to wear, that we really want to have, because the Democrats right now are arguing in the Senate. You will hear this for the next 2 weeks. This is not just current. It is ahead of current. You will hear nothing more. It's all going to be about compassion. It's all going to be about caring. It's all going to be about evil Republicans wanting people to die out on the streets, turning people away from hospitals, having hospitals be places only for the wealthy. And this kind of demagoguery it can't go unchecked. It has to be, you have to understand that there is no perfect system out there, but the way our nation's resources are allocated here is pretty damn near perfect, in the sense that the great majority of Americans have within a certain percentage band, roughly the same type of spending power, same spending capacity. You've got people at the very low end, you've got people at the very high end, but then you've got, we are a country that has a sizable middle class, and we're different in this sense from a lot of third world countries out there. You got to understand that's a very critical thing. We have a large, substantial, and powerful middle class. The spending power of the middle class dictates what most goods and most commodities out there are sold for. And this is basic economics. People out there can only spend so much for a car, and that amount is what the car costs. Because, Toyota can't sell it. They'd love to sell cars for $100K each. No one can buy it. No one can afford it. Now, there's a story in Great Britain. In this case, we haven't talked about it here. And if you're a parent, this is a heartbreaking situation. There's a young boy. He's almost a year old. His name is Charlie Gard, and he's dying. He has a rare condition. It's called MDDS. It's basically a DNA depletion, mitochondrial cells depletion condition. And he's dying. And he's in a hospital. His parents made a critical mistake. They took him to a public hospital that is under the NHS, the National Healthcare System, insurer, if you can call it even that. But it's basically a single payer, state payer healthcare body in Great Britain that allocates and funds healthcare for a wide majority of English people. Now, Charlie Gard goes into the hospital. He's got some complications. Turns out he has this condition. And as the story unfolds, I think you'll remember that he was in the news a little while back because his parents fought to have him sent abroad to the United States for experimental treatment. And the hospital said no. So his parents appealed. Went to court. Go all the way through the court. And the court system says, no, the hospital has control. And I will explain why this is. See, in a world, okay, in a world where you, the individual, wants to be taken care of by the government, where you, and it sounds good, right? You know, you're going to have health care provided to you. The state will pay for it. You know, no worries, no copays, no troubles, no worrying about, oh, I moved employers and now I got a new health care. No, it's all taken care of you from cradle to grave. You give up something very important in that process. You give up control. And these hospitals have total control over you when you go into them. I'm not trying to be a boogeyman here. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a fact. And so here, in this case, the will of the parents, what the parents want for their own child, is subordinated to what the state wants to do vis-a-vis its own resources. The best way I can explain this to you is, remember being 16? I do. You start to be independent, you know, puberty, everything's raging. You want, you know, mom's, dad, screw you. I want to be my own man. And what does mom and dad, what do they tell you? I remember what my parents told me. I said, you know what, Sam? All of that, everything that just came out of your mouth sounds great. And we can do all of that when you are making your own money and living under your own roof where you're paying the bills, and then you can do everything you just said. But right now, you're at mom and dad's. And when you're living here and when we're paying the bills, we have a final say. That is what happens to any aspect of your life, and healthcare is no exception. When you give up control, when you let someone else pay, because that is what it is. When someone else is paying, I don't care if it's the state, I don't care if it's mom and dad. When someone else is picking up the bill, he who has the power of the purse controls what happens. And so if you didn't like it when you lived at mom and dad's, why in heaven's name would you like it as a grown adult, as a parent, okay, as an individual? Why in heaven's name would you be okay with it now? And I see, you know, a lot of conservative commentators are bringing in the Terry Schiavo case, which was I think, a completely different issue. Terry Schiavo being the Florida woman who was deep in a coma. Doctors basically said, look, there's no way she's going to come out of it. And the question became, what would Terry Schiavo want? And she was an adult. And I think there was some estrangement with the husband and the parents. And so who knows who really had legal control over her? There was no final order. But don't let, okay, do not let, this is the left winning, because they want to make it about an end of life, right to end life type scenario. It's not. This is a parent's rights case. The parents are perfectly fine. They're alive. There's no dispute whether the parents are involved in their child's life. Both parents are together. They're, I believe, married, which, you know, that's saying something these days. So you've got two parents who are both in it together. They're both filing lawsuits trying to save their kid. They even at one point had a specialist in the States being willing to see their child. And I think they raised like $1.5 million, almost $2 million in crowdfunding to bring him over to the States. And the hospital refused. And it's simple. They own you. They own you because they pay for you. And that right to make decisions about their son's case was given up years before their child was ever born. We have to really think about this as we talk about healthcare. We've got to do some soul searching. What type of America do we imagine? I know. So we're going to do it differently. I mean, we're still going to have patients' rights. Oh, that's what we're going to do. That's a great. We're going to take the best of that system and modify it. This reminds me of I have a lot of different friends. I really enjoy what people write on Facebook. If you want to fully understand the stupidity of some of your closest friends, follow them closely on Facebook. So somebody that I love, a great person, is talking over the weekend, posted something about French motherhood and how French mothers, I mean, it's great. And by the way, this person that I know is a very successful, we'll call her a businesswoman. She is self-employed, very successful, but she has a small business. She just had a baby and she's posting this thing about how great the French system is and how great the nurseries are and everything's funded by the state and it's this giant utopia. I'm reading all this. I'm thinking, you know, actually, that all sounds great. You're right. All of that sounds great. And so I wrote back. I wrote her a slightly snarky comment and I said, you know, all of that's great. You know, I totally, it's fantastic. But in France, you would never have your business. It could never happen. The regulations, the cost, the sheer cost, and I know her well enough to know her situation. You would never be done. You'd be working at some big firm somewhere. You'd be working for a big conglomerate. And yeah, you'd only be working 37 hours a week or whatever it is, but you never would have the life that you have. And her response is so classic, and it absolutely has to be something we have to take into consideration when we're talking about healthcare. Her response is, well, I don't want all of the French system. I just want the good parts. Oh, see, everyone wants just the good parts of socialism. That's how it is. But the good comes with the bad. So much so that I can't even call the so-called good parts good. They're not. At 16, I made a decision in my life that I wanted to be the master of my own destiny. I remember it vividly. And it's an important part of every human's progress to adulthood. And so it just mystifies me that grown adults want to be taken care of. And I want to remind you, it comes at a cost. The minute that you are the beneficiary of some benefit, there are strings attached. And when it comes to healthcare, and tell me right now, is it not, if you have had a cancer diagnosis, have a number of friends right now. It's been a bad month. You know, you have that solemn talk with your doctor. What do you want? I know what I want. And it goes beyond just, it's a simpler deal than just, I want the best, you know, I want the best healthcare. I know what I want. I want options. I want to choose. I don't leave anything in my life to just fate. It's not who I am. And I'll add something else to it. It's not who we are as Americans. We don't leave things just to fate. And so I look at this devastating case of Charlie Gard. And I see these parents who've just gotten massacred by the system. And they are like, I don't know if the treatment in America could help him. From what I've read, it sounds like probably not is the answer. But the latest today, and this is the part that just rips my heart out, after all of this, after the courts in London, in England, saying we want Charlie to die with dignity, parents ask for him to come home. And today the court, well, they're ruling on it tomorrow, but the preliminary is no. They're fighting it. The hospital is fighting it because it would be too impractical to have the ventilators moved into their house. Do you know what impractical means in a socialized medicine? It means too expensive. And those are the types of decisions that no government should make. All right, I'm going to talk more about this when we come back. Really heartbreaking stuff. Sam Rogowski, back right after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
So Charlie Gard, I think, is such a good example of what we need to be aware of, what we need to be concerned with when we debate healthcare. This is the boy who is dying of a rare genetic condition in Great Britain. He went into a hospital there in London and can't leave. The parents have tried to get him to experimental care in the United States. They've had plenty of money to do so, given by lots and lots of well-intentioned people. Didn't happen. The courts refused it because, as part of socialized medicine, what happens is they pay, they decide, and you give up control over your care. And that also means, by virtue of how these things work, the parents give up control of their child's care. And now, little Charlie, his parents wanted him to come home to die in their home. It looks like he's just got a matter of days left and wanted to bring a ventilator home. And the hospital said it's not practical. That is code for money, okay? Plain and simple. And this takes it full circle back again, not just to the idea that strings are attached the minute that public funds are expended, but beyond that, decisions about individual needs, okay, are now subjected to greater concern over public expenditures. And value is placed on one person's life over another. I give you a great example of this. Typically, in the way these things work out, let me ask you, if this was a politician, if this was a cabinet secretary who needed a particular type of important treatment, is that person more valuable to the state than a blue-collar worker from, let's say, somewhere in the Midwest? I mean, you start to get into these type of questions. So if you want to make the argument that, oh, our system, I'm making it, Sam, you're ridiculous. You're making it all about, a commodity that people pay for out of their own pockets. I mean, there's going to be people who are just going to die on the street. They're out. I mean, what do we hear in these debates? So 40 million people uninsured, they're out of luck, gone. I mean, I know the whole premise of insurance frustrates me, because I think that if insurance was out of the equation and it was a cash system where you paid cash or you put it on your credit card if there was a bigger treatment, it would have to work, because doctors and hospitals would have to compete for dollars that are out there. They can't compete for fictitious money that people don't have. They have to work with what your average American can pay. That's how the marketplace works. But the left, when they look at, they're not looking at this Charlie Gard thing as some terrible deal. Because to them, the NHS system in England is like the cat's meow. I mean, how many times have I heard all the time the debate about healthcare circle back to, oh, how great it is over in Great Britain, and how great it is over in France, and oh, how great it is in Sweden. But then we don't see these types of things. And I my contention is that we as Americans, we are different from Europeans. We actually are not socialists at heart. That's because there's something inherent in our American spirit that is an embodiment of that 16-year-old kid who says to his mom and dad, you know what? Screw you. I am going to leave home. I am going to go and start earning my own money because I do want to decide what kind of iPhone I want to buy. It's like that. No, you can't have the iPhone. You can't have the 7 Plus. You know, you're gonna here's a clamshell. Because if we're paying for it, we decide what kind of phone you have. And that part of child development is so critical. And partly why I rail against the way we treat young people these days. Gotta make them get out of the coop, fly the nest, start paying for themselves. You know who pays his way? John Wolfe, independent man. And he's up next with the news. Back after this.
I was hoping Sam would be paying for my son. KABC News live and local at 7:30. I am John Wolfe.
Say, what is this? You know what it is.
790-790-790-790-KABC.
Sam Rejofsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, live from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. Phone number, as always, 800-222-5222. Also, you can email me, sam@samnation.com. Now, I had a great email here from a listener, Peter Hecking. And Peter was wondering, Peter likes the show, says he agrees with me mostly. He was wondering about the music, and I wasn't sure, Peter, which segment you were talking about. Love the jingle pounding tune. What name is it? You talking about Bab O'Reilly, The Who? I think it might be that one, the one that we opened the show with. So there you go. Hope that helps. Okay. Somebody was Sam Nation. The show itself. We were talked about today. In Congress, right from the Senate floor, and by none other than John McCain, who returned after having his cancer diagnosis. He had to come in for the vote. The vote was so close to open debate on health care reform. It was so close that it required Vice President Mike Pence to cast a tie-breaking vote. So it was all hands on deck, and clearly McCain was going to vote yes, but he came in, big applause. Everybody was happy to see him, scar above his left eye. And they kind of went on a little bit of a diatribe. He was talking about bipartisanship and getting along and kind of really, really ruining the fact that we'd moved to such extremes in the halls of the vaunted chamber of Congress. And here is what he attributes some of the problem to.
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them.
Okay, is that, I just want to point something out. Is that the most anemic applause you've ever heard? Yeah. So anyway, don't listen to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio. Speaking of bombastic loudmouths. Donald Trump is not easing up today. Did he say something about? Yeah, he did. He mentioned through a few swipes at Sessions. And more notably, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the new press secretary, and Mooch, Anthony Scaramucci, both said, you know, I think Trump's comments kind of speak for themselves and he's right to be upset with Sessions. So let's get into this a little bit, because I think a lot of what is being said out there is total nonsense. Now, on the Republican side, you have, oh my goodness, just a groundswell of support for their dear colleague, former colleague, from when how long it was Sessions in the Senate? Quite a long time, 20 plus years. You have fellow senators, Republican senators, just backing him. And the refrain is fairly common. Basically, something along the lines of, well, there is no one with higher integrity than Jeff Sessions. Now, my takeaway from this here is okay. I accept that. Let's say you are absolutely right. Jeff Sessions there's no one with higher integrity than Jeff Sessions. His integrity is not what is at issue. The question here is, what kind of fire does he have in his belly? Because in a critical moment, at a critical time, at the very earliest stages of Trump's presidency, with this absolutely nonsense investigation going on into it, you know, collusion with Russia and that type of thing, he recused himself. He dropped it. He dropped it like a hot potato in a completely untested deputy's lap. You know, the statute, when you look at the independent counsel statute, there has to be a crime. There has to be an identified crime that has taken place in order for a special counsel to be appointed. So when we come back, I want to kind of take some of the layers off of this. Because I think that most of how this is being analyzed is really just not, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Okay, Sam Rogowski, back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
All right, let's say that you have been injured, I don't know, in a car accident by a vicious animal, or perhaps some product that you have. I had a phone, an Apple phone, blows up in your pocket. What do? You don't want to start the process and go through the whole thing all on your own. You don't want to do that. What you want to do instead is hire a professional to help you, to take it over, handle it for you, and make sure that you get the outcome that not only you deserve, but also make sure you don't get taken advantage of as you go through it. So what's your first step? You call Attorney Sweet James Bergner. He's the attorney we trust here on the program to take care of you and get you the results that you need. Look, if you can't get to a doctor, he can get you a doctor. That's right. Even if there are no more Obamacare exchanges in your county, he will still get you to a doctor. Most importantly, he'll make sure that the insurance company or whoever, whatever corporation is on the other end of this pays up. All right. How do you reach him? 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right. Sam Rogowski back. And now the Sessions v. Trump, or Trump v. Sessions fight. I mean, this is being billed as a great civil war in the Republican Party. And I want to take down the rhetoric here. But we have a caller. I've got Linda in Burbank has a great point. And Linda, what do you think about this?
I'm worried that if Sessions resigns or if Trump fires him, you know, one way or the other, that the next attorney general won't be as strong on illegal immigration. And Trump had a hard time getting Sessions, you know, accepted by, you know, the Senate that, you know.
Confirmed.
Confirmed, yeah.
That is right there, Linda. Thank you. And I'm so glad you called and appreciate you listening. You absolutely have hit the nail on the head. That's the million-dollar deal in this. It's not necessarily about firing Sessions. It's about how do you replace him? Do you remember what a drag-out, horrible fight it was to get Sessions confirmed? I mean, I could play you right now. I've got a list of clips here of outraged Democrats. I mean, Schumer practically crying on the floor of the Senate today, talking about how horrible Trump is being to Sessions. Well, this is the same Chuck Schumer, I mean, that was railing against Sessions when he was up for confirmation and voted against him. So Linda is absolutely 100% right. The problem here will be replacing him. Now, I will tell you what I think is happening. I am not a fly on the wall, and I am not relying on any kind of inside knowledge. I'm just going to tell you, as a Trump observer and as a politically savvy person, I'm going to try to translate this for you. Ready? Okay. I think that at some point along the way, Sessions and Trump had a discussion that did not end well. And the takeaway, Trump's takeaway from it, which was probably justified, was that Sessions was being a little too high and mighty. It could have been something along the lines of Trump saying, look, you shouldn't have recused yourself. You've gotten me into deep doo-doo with this Mueller and all these, you know, Democratic, you know, cronies who are out to get me. And Sessions played it, well, you know, this is the office and I have a duty and da 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 da. And I'm, you know, this is a beyond just the Trump presidency and I have a duty to American people. And Trump has he has this system when people do that to him, which is he intends to, it's not just rake them over, he intends to humble them. He did this with Bannon. He's done this with others. He did this in the business world. He intends to humble them. And it does not always mean that the relationship is terminal. In fact, most of the time it works out. So I want to, there's more to this. But it's about understanding what's happening beyond just the headlines. Okay, so don't go anywhere. I'll be back right after this.
Say, what is this?
You know what it is. 790, 790, 790, 790.
KABC. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Oh, my favorite defense of Sessions came from Senator Inhofe. Now, he was one of many Republicans that said how Sessions has an impeccable character. And how upset he is, Senator Inhofe, over the way that Trump has assailed his good friend, who has been friends with him and his wife for years. And Senator Inhofe said, the only person that is more upset about the way Trump is treating Jeff Sessions than me is my wife. Now, no, I do. I don't, some old hag. Do I care what she thinks? No, I don't at all. None of that matters. I mean, and it doesn't matter to most Americans out there either. Well, most people who voted for Trump. Because they are, people have got to be, I'm telling you, and I don't care what the polls say or anything, but people are furious with the state of this investigation. It's total nonsense. And what people expected, you know, Linda made an important point. I mean, Sessions was a brave guy in the Senate. He was always a staunch voice when it came to illegal immigration. And we expected that Sessions was going to go in and be kind of a hard ass. He was going to go in there and with a little bit of fire in him and go and break some legs and arms, whatever needed to happen. Terry and Yorba Linda, are you there?
Yes, hello, yes.
Hey, welcome
really
to the
quickly.
Show. How are you doing?
Thank you. I love your show. Thank you. The reason why I'm calling is because I feel the closeness between Donald Trump and Sessions. I just feel someone got to Sessions. Someone got to him.
And got to
and
him
got
how?
Him
got, like, made him weaker, made him less combative and less committed to Trump's agenda. Is that what you mean?
Yes. Yes, someone got to him, and I don't know what words or what, but I really have that really strong feeling. A lot of times I'm right, okay, but I feel someone got to him. They said the right thing to appeal maybe to his conscience. I don't know, but and that's what he backed off. It was either a Democrat or a Republican or one of each, but somebody got to him.
Well, I appreciate the call so much, Terry. I am actually not inclined to disagree with you. In other words, let me take the double negative out. I think you're onto something. And I'm going to follow this, and we'll talk some more about it tomorrow. All we have is an hour. It stinks. You know, we're already out of time. But I think that when he made his repeated promises to his former colleagues in the Senate during his confirmation hearings, that he just felt that he had to be above board and then some. And the fact of the matter is that Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch never would have recused themselves and exposed Obama the way Sessions exposed Trump. Never, not in a million years, no way, no how. But Terry, I think you're there. I think it makes sense. Okay, we'll be back tomorrow night at 7. See you then.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Lanes have been reopened right around Quail Road, and last check, two southbound lanes were still closed. We'll keep you updated on that. Again, that was 5 southbound around Gorman. Arizona Republican John McCain made a dramatic return to the Senate chamber after being diagnosed with a brain tumor less than two weeks ago. While speaking on the Senate floor, McCain said both sides now need to work together.
Let's return to regular order. Let the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee under Chairman Alexander and Ranking Member Murray hold hearings. Try to report a bill out of committee with contributions from both sides.
And, of course, the vote was 51-50 today in the Senate after Mike Pence made the final split decision vote. The Senate's blocked a wide-ranging proposal by the GOP to repeal much of Obamacare and replace it with a more restrictive plan. The 57-43 vote tonight included 9 defecting Republicans. Here's reaction from Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on Capitol Hill.
These votes.